For McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina, this is Chris Parks, joined as always by the Cassett Adair County Conservation Officer Grant Jelly with another week of the Conservation Report here on KJN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Well, we're back at it once again here. We're past the 4th of July holiday weekend, so I guess some people kind of feel like that's the downhill turn after for the summer season, but still plenty to do out there for a lot of good months, hopefully here with some good weather. And I'm sure everybody had a good time getting out and enjoying what was a fairly decent weather weekend for the holiday.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty busy at times. And then, you know, of course, when the heat sets in, people are kind of like wildlife and they tend to kind of take for shelter and shade. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of the downward slope of summer, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities to do different things. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit later on in the show, is just some of the different opportunities that we don't spend much time talking about, but there are good chances to get out and enjoy the outdoors and maybe get a kid involved.
Yeah, certainly. One thing that we were going to talk about, and actually something I guess I was kind of related with here this weekend. I went out and got myself a kayak. My wife already had one, so we've got them together. We actually spent some time there on July 4th out on Lake Anita enjoying the water there. And lots to remember, though, when folks are out doing that, about being safe around the water, because we did have some bad incidents around the state.
Yeah, definitely. You know, unfortunately, these are always reminders when we have a fatality or a drowning that occurs, but we did have a couple of different incidents around the state. I know one of them on the Raccoon River involved someone floating down a tube and ultimately drowning. And I think we had a boating incident as well. But, you know, just good reminders. And I always tell people this whenever I'm out checking people that are in kayaks or canoes and I ask for a life jacket, sometimes they look at me like with this look of bewilderment, like, why would I have to wear or have one of those in a safe little vessel like this? And, you know, I always tell people, you know, statistically speaking, kayaks and canoes are far more dangerous than a conventional boat. And, you know, that's why it's important to have that PFD with you. And then if you're under the age of 13, you have to actually have it on. So I was happy to see over the weekend that a lot of the places that I visited, people did have at least the life jackets in the boat with them. I see some people on stand-up paddle boards that had on a life jacket as well. So that's really good to see because, you know, the last thing that you know, unfortunately might expect is an accident to occur or you get knocked out or you hit your head. And, you know, by having that life jacket on, at least it gives you a fighting chance until someone can get there and help you. So make sure that you do pay special attention to that stuff. If you're in a regular boat, make sure that you have, you know, the correct number of life jackets on board for the different size of person that you have. Make sure that if you have children on board, that they're not only in a life jacket, but that you have a proper fitting life jacket. And, you know, I ran into an incident earlier this year where I asked for people to show me their life jackets in a boat, and I had three adults show me like an infant size life jacket. And unfortunately, that's just not gonna do it. That's not gonna save you. So make sure that the life jacket is properly fitting. It's serviceable. It's not worn out or mouse chewed, because it really can save a life, as we've seen here in recent years.
Yeah, definitely don't know what kind of situation you're going to run into. It's great to have those things, and like you said, be the proper thing that's going to help you out in that situation if you do need it. One thing that we can, I guess, piggyback on that, there are a couple of different opportunities for folks to get out and enjoy Iowa state parks in different areas and also be rewarded at the same time. One of those things that we already talked about here on the show was the hook and paddle passport, which is an opportunity for folks to explore the Iowa waterways this summer and catch some fish and then be able to win some prizes as well. If you go to the fun.iowadnr.gov, and you can find out the hook and paddle passport details and how you can download that and then check in, and you can win some prizes with that. Another program that just started back up as well is the Iowa State Park Passport for 2022. That kicked off on July 1st and will go till October 31st. And visitors can check in for a chance at winning some prizes with that as well. That's something that was already going on last year. The 2021 now one will expire, and now they start the 2022 passport. So you'll have an opportunity to check in to different parks around the state. Lots of great prizes. The first 500 people that have five check-ins get $5 off a camping night. They get some prizes for some T-shirts if you do 10 check-ins, and then they'll have some grand prize drawings. One of those is a three-night cabin stay at Pine Lake State Park. So another cool opportunity to, get a little added bonus when you're out there enjoying the outdoors, Grant.
Yeah, definitely. That's some neat stuff to, kind of get people involved and visit as many places as you can. And, just go to the DNR's website for that information, and there's a lot of other information there as well.
Yeah, some good stuff there. We do have a story up on our Ag Outdoor page as well. It gives you some details on that state park passport for this year, so check that out. We wanted to touch on a couple of things that are maybe not so foremost in most people's mind when it comes to things in the outdoors, but there are some things you need to follow and proper steps to take as well when you're doing things like going out and tracking down some frogs and some turtles.
Yeah, definitely. This is kind of the time of the year when they're most prevalent, especially bullfrogs. You can go out and find those frogs in a lot of our creeks and streams and wetland areas where they might be visible. We've got, a decent amount of rainfall this year that has really helped. But you find some places that have some visible shoreline is where you're oftentimes going to find your most best success for frogs. But we do not have a actual season on frogs, which was always kind of new to me coming from a different state where frog season was kind of a big deal. We have an open season on bullfrogs throughout the year here in Iowa, but we do have a daily limit of 12 bullfrogs. So make sure that you have your fishing license. If you're going to go out there and be catching frogs, you can catch them by hand, you can use a net, you can use a gig, pole and line. There's a variety of different methods you can use, and oftentimes your best luck or success is going to be after dark, where you can see those eyes shining and shine a light on them, and they tend to hold still for a while. So that's just one of the seasons that we don't talk about, or one of the species that we don't talk about enough, but it's a great way to introduce youngsters to the outdoors and get some bug spray and a good flashlight, and you can have a lot of fun. Another thing that I wanted to mention was turtles. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, we actually have a turtle season here in Iowa, and it runs from July 16th through May 14th of the following year. And that season is for spiny softshell, smooth softshell, and painted turtles. We also have a daily bag limit of 4 for common snapping turtles, 1 for the spiny softshell or smooth softshell, and 1 for the painted turtle. So, a lot of people sometimes don't think about turtles having a season or turtles being able to be caught or possessed. But just go to your fishing regulations there, and you can see those seasons are listed as well. And again, a fishing license is what you'll need in order to harvest turtles here in Iowa. So some different things to talk about and different things to get people involved in a little bit different sport. And there's some good ways. You can go online and find a lot of different recipes and ways to eat frogs and turtles. And there's a lot of people, make different dishes with them, and they're actually pretty good. So get somebody involved and enjoy a little bit different way of fishing or frog hunting, if you will.
Yeah, different, interesting thing to get involved with for sure. There are some folks that do love that. I know it's always something I tend to do. And if you're out there in the lake and you're not having much success fishing, if I can track down a few of those frogs just to catch in the net and show the kids and have a little fun with, I know that's always a good little distraction when maybe something else isn't quite going your way. Another thing that the DNR, of course, is all about is the conservation effort around the state, and something that you've been involved with here recently, Grant, is banding a bunch of geese, and there's, of course, lots of reasons why we want to do that and keep track of those birds.
Yeah, so over the last couple of weeks here in Iowa, across much of our wildlife units, we've been assisting our Wildlife Bureau with catching Canada geese. This is the time of year when the goslings are big enough to band, and the adults, 95% probably of the percent of the time, they're molting this time of the year, so they're unable to fly. So we'll just go out to some area lakes where we have a lot of geese staying and do some roundups and kind of walk them into some pens, and then we'll apply an aluminum leg band on each of the birds, and then we record the number. This year we didn't do it the sexing of the birds, but typically we will sex the bird, see what if it's a male or female, juvenile or adult, and then we release them back to the waters where they were caught, and it may be the next hunting season, or it may be many years down the road where a hunter may harvest a bird and report that band, and it gives us a lot of good information as far as how far the birds travel, where they're reproducing, where they're nesting, where they're spending their falls, and that sort of thing. So we do that with a number of different bird species, and bird bands have been around for many, many years, and they've really helped biologists kind of keep tabs on birds and their migration patterns and where they're having their most success nesting at. So we get a lot of information for those things, and it's just a good chance to remind people, if you are fortunate enough to harvest a bird or even find one dead, you can go to the Fish and Wildlife Service website or just Google bird bands, and it'll take you to the government website where you can report those numbers, and they'll give you some interesting information as to where the bird was hatched, where it was banded, and then, of course, where you recovered it at. So pretty neat information there, and some pretty interesting stuff can be gathered from those band reports.
Yeah, certainly is good information, and we know that environmental conditions are always changing, habitats is always changing, and it's good to know where those birds are changing their patterns too, where they may be headed, like you mentioned, how far they may be moving, and it gives us a good idea of what maybe we need to do effort-wise out there with conservation to help those numbers along and help those species along and make sure they're around for a long time to come. That's a good project there, and of course we'll hopefully start to see some information on that stuff there down the road as well. So we appreciate you giving us some info on what's going on in the great outdoors again here this week, Grant, and we'll look forward to talking to you again here in the future.
All right, everybody stay safe, and we'll talk to you again in a little while.
All right, that's Grant Jelly, Cassin Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks. Thanks to McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina for another week of the Conservation Report.